You're listening to News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
History in the making this week in the Minneapolis area for a bunch of women connected to Minnesota. The first ever Minnesota Women Business Owner Hall of Fame is the result of more than 600 hours of research and a lot of dedication by this woman you're going to meet next, who's in studio, Jill Johnson. Welcome to News and Views.
Hi, Rashini. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. First of all, tell us a little bit about the background of how this even came to be.
I've been a NABA member for almost 30 years, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing some historical research to reclaim some of the lost history of NABO.
And NABO being?
The National Association of Women Business Owners chapter here in Minnesota. And as part of that, when I was looking through the history, I think there was some sporting hall of fame in the background, and it just sparked in my brain, gee, we should have something like that for all these amazing women business owners. And over the course of the last 5 years, I have done, as you said, about 500 hours of research on Minnesota's most amazing and impactful women. And a year ago, I presented and pitched the board of directors of the Minnesota chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners that we should institute the Hall of Fame. And they jumped on board and said, run with it. So I've spent the last 300-400 hours of my life working on putting this event together.
And some of the names on here, some are ones that we would recognize, like Marilyn Carlson Nelson, and people like Jill Blaschuk Strahan, who started Tastefully Simple, based in Alexandria, mm-hmm. Minnesota, now a big-time national company, has been for the last decade and a half or a couple decades. So what did it take? I mean, do they have to hit a certain number of dollars of revenue, or was it just their unique status in the whole business history?
It really was more the unique status. I mean, obviously, a criterion for many of them was, you know, substantial revenue, but the committee, the selection committee, was really looking for something transcendent from just the dollars. And really, we're looking at women who had an impact far beyond the revenue of their business. So some of the women that are on the list are not household names, but they have frankly left an enormous footprint and transformed not just things that have happened here in the state of Minnesota, but have impacted our national level as well.
Well, I was looking at one of the names, and she kind of came into her own in 1955 when her husband died suddenly. Her name, Ebba Hoffman, and she now found herself at the helm of Smead Manufacturing Company, which is probably a fairly well-known name for most people.
It's a well-known name today, but you have to put it back in context. In 1955, Ebba was a stay-at-home mom with two kids, and her husband died suddenly and left her with a business that was on the verge of bankruptcy. And Ebba stepped into the fold, and with grit and determination and savvy beyond her eighth grade education, she transformed that failing business into a company with over $300 million in revenue and 2,500 employees by the time she died and passed it on to her daughter, Sharon.
Well, it's pretty amazing, as well as one of the other inductees to the new Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame, which will be happening this Thursday evening over at Cargill, the woman who founded Fujiya Restaurant.
Oh, gosh, Rico Weston. She was an amazing story. Rico was a daughter of a Japanese admiral who served during World War II. And at the end of the war, they were starving because there was no work for them. And she married a GI and came to Minnesota. And in order to keep her parents busy after she moved them over here, she founded a small little restaurant called Fujiya, which by 1979, after she took it over, had crossed over the $1 million revenue mark, which today is even almost impossible for many small business owners. And by 1988, she was at $3 million in revenue. She was the first Asian American Minnesota woman to be on the map as a business owner. And Fujiya is still run today by her daughter, Carol, and all these many years later.
And if you don't know Fujiya, you got to try it. It's some of the best sushi around.
Well, we may have a date later.
Okay. Yes. I love it. because, and that's what's really cool about this, is you did this 500 plus hours of research. What was interesting for you, because you were a consultant, you're a woman business owner, you've been recognized in your field also, but when was it humbling? I mean, what was it like when you were doing this research?
Humbling is absolutely the case, but I think for me, and more importantly, I knew many of these women when I was in my early to mid-20s. I was a young woman who'd moved back to Minnesota, was still wanting and had the dream of owning my business and starting a consulting firm. And so many of these women, everyone from Judy DeVine and Marlene Johnson to Kay Fredericks to Lorelei Craft, and then some, were all women who were role models and inspiration to me, and I knew them, and they passed the hand back. Marjorie Williams opened up doors to a board of directorship on the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce for me, and they all did amazing things, but it was their unique story of the struggle and the challenge, and the fact that they were advocates for other women in business. They weren't just about themselves and their own dollar footprint.
Well, and the other thing, you've got people like a little bit of Minnesota history here. Marlene Johnson, mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, served in that capacity from 1983 to 1991. I mean, it's interesting to think that it was only 1983, not that long ago, that we had the first female lieutenant governor.
Exactly. Well, and you have to remember back in the mid to late 70s, so many of these women, we were not able to go in the front door of the Minneapolis Club. We couldn't play on the golf courses of the country clubs around the area. So these women who were all socially active, politically astute, they banded together. That's how NABO actually was formed. Many of those women were the founding mothers of NABO in Minnesota and were instrumental on NABO becoming a major player on the national stage for women business owners as well.
I'm taking your calls and texts if you have any questions for Jill about who these women are. If you're wondering if someone you know or look up to is on the list and want to get a little sneak peek, she'll let you know. You can call us at 651-989-9226 or text the studio at 81807. Happy to give your shout outs to businesswomen in the area. But also, another interesting angle of this, Jill tells me, is that these women inductees are coming from all over the country and a couple different parts of the world.
Coming back, yes.
Yeah, coming back.
Yes, exactly. Primarily coming from other states, more so. We've got women coming back from Hawaii, Washington, D.C., several coming back from California, Florida, Texas, Arizona. And what's amazing about it, too, is that all but two of the living women will be in the room at Cargill that night. We'll have family members of all of the posthumous winners will be there. So the sense of history that evening is just going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think it is going to be really amazing. And are there tickets still available? Can people still get to this if they're not already there on the list?
There are a handful of tickets still left. The best way to do is to go onto the website for the National Association of Women Business Owners in Minnesota. That's www.nawbo-mn.org.
Okay. And so there are still some tickets available.
Just a few.
It's kind of a happy hour, early evening dinner event at Cargill.
Happy hour hors d'oeuvres, and then a pretty impressive induction celebration.
And what can you preview? What can you give us a sneak peek about this induction celebration? Because we've got women of all ages. What is the oldest?
The oldest living is Connie Bakken, who was a bank owner, and she's going to kill me, but she's 89, and then the youngest is 52.
Okay. All right. And I think we may know who that is here in studio with us. But so really interesting stuff. Just the bigger picture of this. Why is it important? And I'm guessing you will have future classes mm-hmm. inducted.
Exactly.
Why is a Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame important?
Well, I think, Rashini, if you take a look at the business media today, for the most part, women and women business owners have evaporated from the pages. I was looking at a publication, business publication locally that came out yesterday, and there were no women. It was all male, 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 male. And while I am very supportive of the men in our community, we still need to make sure that women's voices are heard. And by retelling the stories of these 25 amazing business owners, it is an opportunity not only to reintroduce to our major media the significant of impact and the major footprint that these women have left on our state over 150 years, but also because somewhere out there is a young woman, a young girl, who's dreaming about it. I know for me, that's how I found out when I first read an article that Marlene Johnson was quoted in. I was in college, and I remember calling home to my mom. I was 21 years old. Mom, there's a whole group of women who own businesses just like I want to someday.
And it's pretty amazing that you knew that at 20, 21 years old.
I was a little unique. I'm a fourth generation entrepreneur. I grew up in a family-owned business, as did some of our women. But I knew it was just a knowledge, but the path to finding my future was very unclear. Young girls didn't go to business school back in the late 70s, and they certainly didn't get MBAs. And so for me, being able to reach out and to read success stories and to see that there were these very successful women like Marlene, and then I joined NABO long before I ever owned a business, it was a way for me to be connected to that idea. And that's what's lacking, because I think for a lot of the young women in our community, they think that all those struggles are, it's all easy peasy. They don't have to worry about it anymore. It'll just, the doors will magically open. And entrepreneurship is very difficult for everybody. And so this is a way for us to share that history again.
Well, I'm going to let you share in some of her insight. Jill Johnson is a business consultant. She is also getting inducted into the new Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame this week, along with 24 other women. Five have passed and 20 still living. Most of them will have either themselves or a representative there on Thursday night for the ceremony. I'm going to open up the phone line, 651-989-9226, or text me at 81807 if you want to share a story of a woman business owner in your life, or if you want some advice from Jill. She's a business owner herself. She's a consultant. She has consultant with companies in Europe, the U.S., Asia. So a little free advice. You know how I like to give that to CCO listeners. Costs you nothing, just a call. We'll be right back with more news and views coming up.
News Radio 830 WCCO.
She is Jill Johnson, founder of Johnson Consulting Services. She is a management consultant and has personally impacted nearly $3 billion worth of decisions for clients located in 21 U.S. states, Europe, and Asia. Hard to believe. That is a lot of consulting, Jill.
It is.
And Jill is also getting inducted into the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame. First class ever, 25 women, 20 living, 5 have passed. Taking your call, 651-989-9226, and shout outs. You can text us at 81807. Mary is calling in from Fridley. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Well, hi. I was just calling about Rose Totino. Is she in this group?
Not this year, but
okay.
We had the original list that we culled from were 120 women who had bubbled up through having won a variety of different awards and other halls of fame. And unfortunately, we couldn't include everybody this year, but okay. Rose Totino is by far and away going to be, she is a definite candidate for future years. And I actually met Rose Totino back in those early days when she was a NABO member. She was a terrific woman. And she's absolutely going to be acknowledged in the future.
Yeah, I know her, too. I knew her, too. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary, and good question. And that's another thing that leads us, Jill, to future years. Can the public participate, or is this sort of a group, a select group, that picks the inductees moving forward?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, many of us have been participants in judging awards, and oftentimes what happens is whoever writes the best submission bumps to the front of the line. And we felt that because the Hall of Fame was really about women who have stood the test of time, that they needed to have been acknowledged and honored by major organizations like the U.S. Small Business Administration, the Minnesota Business Hall of Fame, or the Junior Achievement of the Upper Midwest Hall of Fame, as well as historically have won major awards from NABO or been inducted into the Committee of 200, which is a very exclusive group worldwide of women entrepreneurs. So this was not something people could be nominated for. There were women that I was surprised when we did the original research that hadn't made the list. I think in the future, we'll probably work with some of the industry associations to identify women who fell through the cracks. But it was very important that this be a very representative group. We also worked closely with the U.S. Small Business Administration and had several of their key staff people who've run the awards for their program. We had lists going back to 1965. So the SBA was instrumental in serving and participating and giving us external guidance on the significant impact of these women. One last thing is that this needed to be a statewide award. We did not want this only to be women who were NABHA members. We did not want this to only be women who were from the metro area. So some of the women people locally here have never heard of, but who in their parts of the state have had transformative effect. And so that was another component of it that was a part of the selection process for the committee.
Jill, we have a text comment slash question for you. I'm going to be 57. I am too old to begin the dream about starting and owning my own business.
I don't think you're ever too old. When you look at some of the women on this list, Carolyn Olson, for example, was 50 years old when she started her business after having been a stay-at-home mom with four kids back in the 1960s. There are a number of women who are like that. I think anytime we put a pre-definition on ourselves of what we can't do, we never truly figure out what we're really possible to become. And this group of women transformed that. Elizabeth Quinlan, who was born during the Civil War, built the Young Quinlan Building down on 9th and Nicollet Mall when she was 63 years old back in the 1920s. So if she can do that in a time and an era where women could barely vote, my comment to your listener is that nothing is too late for her.
Absolutely. And my listener, our faithful listener to WCCO, feel free to give us a call when you start that business. I'll give you a plug on the show. You know,
there
nothing
you
like a little media jumpstart, right? Well, another interesting story, Judy Devon, who founded Medium Well Done in 1979 at the age of 33. Interesting to note about her. I mean, her clients include Neiman Marcus, Pfizer, 3M. But it's just, this is so hard for me to believe, Jill. She lobbied for passage of the Women's Business Ownership Act by Congress in 1988, so, I mean, not very long ago, which eliminated discriminatory lending practices by banks that even in the 80s required a male relative signature on a business loan.
To take that even further, Rashidi, every single woman that's being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, myself included, all started our businesses prior to that federal law being passed. And Judy wasn't just a lobbying person. She was the architect of the national lobbying strategy that got women business owners from all around the country to lobby their congresspeople to get that bill passed. And that was in the days before we had the internet. Voicemail hadn't even been developed yet. And when I look at somebody like a Judy Devine, she left a footprint that transcends anything that she ever did for a client in business. It's the reason Judy was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. She has been a transformative figure in economic empowerment for women and for women business owners in a way that most people will never know, because she's a woman who operated in the shadows on that.
And that's such a big headline out of this, Jill. I mean, no matter who you are, man or woman, to think about going into the 90s, it was 1988. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good part of my lifetime that women needed that signature from a man to get money and for the bank to take them seriously. That is stunning.
To take it even a step further, Elizabeth Quinlan needed to start her business with a male business partner back in the late 1800s because women couldn't own property. And some of our women that were inducting were born in a time and an era when women couldn't vote. So the historical significance, we're looking at 150 years of Minnesota history represented by these women and about 120 years of women of Minnesota business history and the challenges that they've each faced. There's been something, whether it's a personal challenge or a policy challenge or even just the psychological challenge like your earlier listener alluded to. You know, you don't think those women didn't think that they were never going to amount to anything, that they didn't have what it took to turn their business around or to make a go of it, especially for the women who came into it because they were trying to survive and build income for their family. They all found that deep voice inside that said, I may not be perfect, but I can and I will.
Jill, what was it like when you called these women to let them know they were going to be inducted into the first class of the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame?
Well, like your previous guest said, I felt I was a day maker. For me, many of these, as I said earlier, I've known these women. And to call them and to tell them, some of them were totally flabbergasted. I had three of them that said, I don't deserve this, which I just laughed at them when they said that. And to a person, they all said they were deeply honored and very touched and very honored to be amongst the company that they were with.
Which is just fabulous. Well, Jill Johnson, thank you for coming in studio to share with CCO listeners about this first class of inductees getting inducted this Thursday at Cargill to the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame. There are a few tickets remaining. You can go to NABO's website. That's NABO-MN.org to see if there are some tickets. And a fun night, I'm sure, will be had by all. So
it definitely will be.
Have a good time with that, and congratulations to you, too.
Thank you very much.
For your induction into that, or your upcoming induction.